And it's time now for our regular Images of the Past segment. And joining me is Jessica Michak. Thank you so much for being here, archivist with the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center. Jessica, thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we're talking this week's image of the past is the Thone's Stone. Did I say that right, Thone?
Yeah, Thone's Stone.
Yeah, so this is cool.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting artifact, yeah.
So this is a stone. There's a monument for the stone in Spearfish?
Yeah, they made a historical marker for it. It's a little bit away from the actual area where they discovered it. But yeah, that gets a lot of visitors, I think. And then the actual Thone stone is currently on display at the Adams Museum.
Okay, so that is in a museum setting, not sitting out in the elements.
Yeah, no, it's very protected. It has its own case, and it's visited by thousands of people every year.
This is not a story that I knew about South Dakota, so tell us the story of this stone.
It's super interesting. The stone itself was found by Louis Thoen, that's where it got its name, at the base of Lookout Mountain in Spearfish, and that was discovered in March of 1887, and the stone itself... It was carved by a man named Ezra Kind, who was part of a mining party that came to the Black Hills in the 1830s.
And is this one of the earlier confirmations that we have that there was a group looking for gold?
Yeah. There are several scholars that think it's probably the earliest account of mining in this area.
Okay. So tell us what it says on the stone.
Well, it's a pretty small stone. It's only 10 inches high by 8 inches wide. And one side of it lists the members of the party and says that they came to the hills in 1833.
Seven
people. And the
Indians
have gotten their gold. And then the reverse side of the tablet, it says, "Got all the gold we could carry. Our ponies all got by Indians. I have lost my gun and nothing to eat, and Indians are hunting me."
So do we know what happened to Ezra Kind?
We don't. We never found out what happened to him. It's presumed that he kind of met his ultimate fate here in the Black Hills somewhere, because he was never heard from again by any of his descendants.
And so we don't know where he was mining or any of that?
No, not a specific site. It's presumed that it was somewhere, obviously, in the Black Hills area and then somewhere around the Spearfish Valley.
So historically, I mean, this is the first record of prospectors, I guess, in the hills. But before this stone was found, was it just assumed that it was more in the later 1800s?
Yes. I know over the years that they have found kind of some other relics they couldn't tie. But when people came here in the 1870s, they found other things that suggested that there were people in the area before that, but this is kind of the first concrete piece that they found that they can authenticate.
So Louis Thoen was a stone cutter, and what did he know what he found? How did he treat this when he found this stone?
I don't think initially he knew what he found. They were just looking for some other pieces to use in a different project, and he came across this very kind of small piece of sandstone with writing on it. And so in the moment, he couldn't really do anything with it. But once he cleaned it off, I think he discovered kind of how important it was.
And then what did he do with it?
I think initially he recognized the value of it right away. It was on display in a storefront in Spearfish for years and years. And then I know it traveled to other places throughout the state. And then ultimately, it was loaned to the Adams Museum and then finally donated to the Adams Museum. So he initially recognized how important of an artifact that he had found.
And was it well preserved?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was well preserved and taken care of. The writing on it is pretty readable and well made out.
And when you say writing, is it carved?
Yeah, it's carved directly in there. They're not really certain what he used to carve it with, but they think it was some kind of smaller knife or something like that.
And so the monument near Spearfish is a replica?
Is that what it is? It's like a historical marker that you would see kind of like for other historical pieces throughout the state.
But does it have a replica of what the stone looks like on
the
monument?
I think it does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can read the text on there as well.
Okay. And so when it's only 10 inches, those are a lot of words and a lot of names listed on there. Is the writing really small?
Yeah, it's pretty small. I think you kind of read the text that's on there, and then once you actually see it, it's kind of a surprising contrast for how small it is.
And what's the story that you want people to take back in learning about this stone?
I would say that, you know, it's kind of proof that there was mining in the Black Hills before the 1870s. And then also it's still kind of a mystery, you know, who were these men and what exactly were they doing here and how did they kind of meet this terrible fate? And it's very interesting to think that we wouldn't know about them had Louis Owen not discovered this, you know, kind of randomly. So,
do you want to kind of like make up the story about them, how they died and that kind of thing?
I don't know.
The storyteller in me kind of does, but.
Well, what would you say then?
No, I don't know. This is all new to me, but it's very fascinating. And I'm just, you know, some of the grammar that was used and the spelling of the words mm-hmm. kind of fascinate me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very interesting. And I don't know if, you know, if I were being chased by Indians, if I would
take time
to carve this, you know, it's wonderful that he did and that we have this piece of history to know the story of these men.
Well, because it was so small, do you think he kind of had time and maybe just kind of did this and just kind of dropped it on his way?
Maybe, yeah. Like, I don't think he was, I'm sure he wasn't staying in one spot or, you know, he's trying to evade them, so.
But it was something that he could, I mean, it was small enough for him to kind of put in a pouch, maybe.
Carry with him, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Carry with him and carve into it when he had time, because he listed everybody's name who was with him.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And told us that they all died. And I'm wondering, too, what this says about, you know, Indian, the Native Americans at the time as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the mining party was in their territory and not supposed to be there. And that's kind of the ultimate price that they paid in the end.
So is there a controversy around this stone?
Yeah, there were, very early on, people thought it initially was a fake. They thought, you know, that Louis Owen had just kind of made this up and carved it himself. But there was a man from Spearfish named Frank Thompson who did some pretty extensive research and even published a book about it. He spent over 14 years researching it. And what he did was try to track down the members of the party and their descendants. And he kind of confirmed that way that the descendants all said that, yes, my ancestor did leave around 1833 and he was never heard from again and he was headed towards this area. And what he found was, what Frank Thompson found was that he believes they were part of a hunting and trading party that left Independence, Missouri in the spring of 1833. And for whatever reason, these seven men separated from the larger party, probably because of the rumor of gold.
So they were being greedy.
Probably, yeah.
And so then does this research, does that prove the validity of the stone in your mind?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's been authenticated. That seems to be kind of the popular consensus among scholars that have researched it. So,
and there's also an image on our website in the images of the past segment that shows a group of Ezra Kind's descendants standing at the monument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the marker.
At the marker. Okay. Well, Jessica, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.